family, obviously, to encourage one another, but I think it will be an encouragement to her daughter and her family to see love demonstrated by the church that day. So 3 o'clock here at the church, a simple memorial service, and that will be an important time. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to be participating in the Fort Mill Christmas Parade, and we need some kids who can help us with that. And if you have children, you know who you are, not your grown-ups. We don't need them. We need them for something else later. But if you have little ones that you can help us with the parade, please either see me or Grace Bowers about that today, and we'll give you some insight as to what's happening there with the children. And you'll also notice out on the back table, we have some invitations for things that are happening over the Christmas season. This is just a general come worship with us at Christmas time at Bible Baptist Church card. It can be given to anybody for anything, just a great, you know, and it looks like a Christmas card, so people will take it. And then this little one will actually be distributing at the parade, but it's a specific invitation to Christmas cantata and cookies on the 18th. And so if you would remember that, that is on the 18th. It's on the front part of your bulletin, but not on the back part. Now, there is one other thing I do want to mention in the bulletin, so turn there and look if you have one. Brother Shetler, this is for you. We're going to go behind the curtain this morning. You were here at 10 o'clock. You heard Brother Shetler say he saw the sign. It said Fall Revival, and he said, oh, I came for a Thanksgiving revival. Praise the Lord. Well, you notice right on the top of that page it says Thanksgiving Revival. Now I've confused everybody. You know why it doesn't say Thanksgiving Revival out there? We only have 4 V's. And by the time you write revival on 2 sides of the words, we've killed them. So I couldn't say Thanksgiving, so it turned into fall. So that's why that is. You're right on track, brother. This is our Thanksgiving revival. And I want to encourage you to be here for every service. You've made at least one. You're here, right? Most of you may have made 2. So you're halfway there. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to continue with the meeting, and then tomorrow night at 7. Let me encourage you to invite someone to come with you. If you have somebody that lives in your neighborhood or a family member that doesn't typically attend services on Sunday night, and that could be just about anybody in this day and age, invite them to come and to be with you tonight at 6, and then, of course, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Now, we're learning to praise the Lord, right? But some people don't even know him. And so wouldn't it be tremendous if they had an opportunity to come and say, what is it that all of you people are excited about and praising him for, and to hear the gospel? And so we've been praying about this meeting for many weeks. It's now upon us. And so the best thing that we can do is to be here, to continue to pray, and to invite others to come and join us.
If you would, take your hymnals and turn to page 239 this morning. If you were in the Sunday school hour, we were learning about praising God, and we're to praise God everywhere and with everything we have, and we are to praise him for what he's done and for who he is. And so we're going to sing about what he's done this morning in Christ alone. All our hope is found in him. Because of his death on the cross, we have victory, we have forgiveness of sins, and we have a promise of a home in heaven if we put our faith and trust in him. And so we're going to sing in Christ alone this morning. If you would, stand to your feet. We'll sing page 239, and we'll sing all 4 verses of this, and then we'll flip over to page 263 as well right after that. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. 63. We've been learning this on Sunday nights, but it's wonderful, merciful Savior. And I'm thankful that we have a wonderful, merciful Savior, and a Savior whose mercies are new every day, and His grace are sufficient to get us through every trial we face and every need that we have. God's grace is sufficient. And so we're going to sing about that this morning. We'll sing all three verses of this hymn, Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore.
Don Goodman back with us today. Don's been out for a couple of weeks fighting off some sort of whatever it was, but he's back now, and that's good to see. Glad to see the rest of you here. As we look to the Lord in prayer this morning, we have a number of specific requests that we want to remember. You may have noticed on your prayer list Melissa Marshall. This is Miss Florence's niece. She actually passed away on Friday, and so we want to be in prayer for Florence. Not only for the family at this time, her niece was fairly young, 44, if I remember right, and so leaving a number of stunned people behind. And so let's pray for them. Miss Florence will be traveling up to Virginia over the next week or so. She's not exactly sure when that will happen yet, so let's pray for her as she goes, that the Lord will keep her safe. Mr. Pete's been dealing with some bleeding. Over the last day or two, he's gotten to that point, and some of you understand it, that when you rub the wrong thing the wrong way, it just bleeds for no real discernible reason. And as you know, he's on blood thinners, and so that creates additional issues for him. And he dealt with about 24 hours of that and says he thinks right now they've got it taken care of, but we want to be in prayer for him. Tommy Baskin's stepfather passed away, and so we want to be in prayer for the Baskin family, be in prayer for Tommy's mom. She has her own health issues. And as you know, Tommy and Rita are also dealing with health issues, so let's certainly keep them in our prayers. Swanee's here this morning. Sister Linda's still dealing with the results of that fall that she took, and so let's continue to be in prayer for her. Also, would ask you to pray for Dee and Tina Templeton. Both of them are dealing with difficult health issues as a result of injury and other things. And the Lord knows all of that, but we want to make sure that we continue to bring these folks before his throne of grace. And we also want to pray for these meetings. Brother Shetler got up early yesterday morning. You couldn't tell it. Pastor mentioned I 3-something in the morning to be here, and I know he was ready to go home by the end of the day, and it looks like the Lord's given him some rest, at least in the hotel, and he's back today. But let's pray not only for his physical strength, right? We want to pray for the preaching of the Word and his sensitivity to the Spirit as he preaches. You know, when somebody opens the book to preach, they're not depending on what it is that they've studied. Now, they've studied so that they're ready, but they're depending on the Holy Spirit of God to do the work in our hearts that they can't do. Now, you know, you've seen preachers, you know, we'll do everything we can to get you to get it. But at some point, it's up to the Holy Spirit to do the work. And so let's pray for him to work in our hearts this week. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you so much for what we've already experienced today. We thank you that we can praise you for who you are and for what it is that you do. We're thankful this morning for this particular time that we have set aside, this day of the week, your day, where we can gather in your house with your people. We can hear your word preached. This particular time that we have to praise your name through song, through participation in the service in so many ways. And Lord, we pray that that spirit of gratitude and praise that we were reminded of this morning would just infuse us for the rest of this week of all weeks, as we celebrate Thanksgiving. May it be an opportunity for us to share the gospel with others and to simply share with them what it is that we're thankful for and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We think of those who cannot be with us in the service this morning. Lord, you know the grief and the burden on the hearts of those that I've mentioned and so many others on our prayer list. And Father, again, we commit them to you. We know that you are all powerful. We know that you love them. We know that you desire to care for them. And so, Father, we pray that you would show yourself strong in every one of these situations, and that even in times of tragedy and grief and difficulty, that your name would be glorified. And, Father, for this service particularly now, we ask again your blessing. Thank you for Brother Shetler for what we've heard. Thank you for Pastor who has led us to this point. And, Father, I just pray that in this service, the name of the Lord Jesus would be exalted, and that we would be drawn to him. We pray in his name. Amen.
Lord, welcome Dr. Paul's brother and family from Austin, Texas. Now, you know how you welcome folks from Texas? You say howdy. So, howdy. Glad to have you with us today. Welcome. And over here on the usher pew is Mark's nephew. And he's up here to help them with an electrical issue they have in their house. And he got drafted into yesterday, being here with all the teenagers and everything, and didn't even know this was going to happen. So, and Dee Templeton is here today. Thank the Lord. But Tina's still at home getting care, so please remember them in your prayers. I'm glad to have all of you here. Thank you.
Spirit, why?
about what the choir sang, give out the good news. It's each and every one of our job to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those we meet who do not know who Jesus is. And me and my wife were actually watching a video last night, and this guy was just asking random facts, and one fact he asked a group of college students was, in what town was Jesus born? And they could not answer that question. And I thought to myself, how can they be in America and never know where Jesus is born? And it's because we need to do a better job of giving out the gospel and sharing Jesus Christ. And so we'll sing that this morning, page 645 in your hymnals. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll sing the first and the last of this hymn, Give Out the Good News.
God has told us in His Word of Jesus' power to save from sin. We must tell this news.
Take the greatest name, Lord of
his glory.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bob. Thank you, Pastor Jacob, and all that you guys did yesterday. And Pastor Parrish, thank you for the great honor to be here and back in your church again, and just a great spirit and good to see you at Thanksgiving. And we're going to have a great time. Now, if we only had one thing or one person to praise God about this week, we would have it all in Jesus Christ. If all you had, we're not going to have turkey, we ain't got no food, we ain't got this, the weather's terrible, our country's gone, everything's just terrible, you would still have enough to thank God for in Jesus Christ alone. And we start with In Christ Alone today, singing, and everything. I want to do that very thing today. I want to talk to you about the one person that we can all thank God the Father for, and that is his Son, Jesus Christ. If we leave here today thanking God for his Son, Jesus Christ, we're going to experience revival. Now, I'll tell you the passage I've chosen. Genesis chapter 45. Now, let me tell you why I chose this to be thankful for Jesus. So basically, the Old Testament is a photo album. It is basically pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I would say that the greatest picture of the Lord in the Old Testament is the tabernacle and the temple. Every part of the tabernacle and the temple refers to Jesus Christ. And that's probably the greatest picture. However, God also uses humans to be types of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. There is no doubt that Moses, the deliverer, would be a type of Christ. Joshua, in having victory over Canaan land and taking the promised land, would be a picture of Christ. Matter of fact, what the land was to Israel, Jesus is to us. And Joshua is that savior, that deliverer as well. However, there is no greater picture in human form of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament than the life of Joseph. Joseph is the greatest picture of Christ. I'll tell you ever want to do a great study in your own personal devotions is just read the story of Joseph and think about Jesus. Because everything that happened to Joseph, he was a picture, a type of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm using him as our backdrop to be thankful for Jesus today. And I've come to what, now this is subjective, everyone can have their own view, but what I believe to be the most emotional, dramatic moment of the entire Old Testament. Now, I know I got some good competition here, all right? So first of all, you're talking about all of Israel, all the warriors, circling this city called Jericho, and they've been marching around this city 13 times over 7 days, and then Joshua gives the sign, blow the trumpet and give the shout, and the walls come down. That's pretty dramatic, okay? That's a pretty dramatic. You've got Elijah on Mount Carmel that after 3.5 years of drought, he first of all prays down fire on an altar that the Baal worshipers couldn't handle. They couldn't get anything. And what a dramatic moment when he calls down fire and then within hours calls for rain for the first time in 3.5 years. That's pretty dramatic. Now, I know some of you, and this would rival what I'm going to give you. I know some of you go, Brother Sheldon, I don't know what you're doing in Genesis 45. You need to be in Genesis 22 for the most dramatic moment, because that is when Abraham has his knife over his only son, Isaac.
and he's about to come. That's pretty dramatic, brother. Brother Joe, you aren't going to beat that moment. And God says, Abraham, Abraham, whoa. Well, I think I got one. I'm telling you, I think this is the most dramatic, emotional moment of the entire Old Testament. And when we look at this, you're going to go like, whoa. So hold off your judgment on me and on what I'm saying until you hear the end of the message. Because I really believe this is an incredible moment. Now, we're going to look at Joseph being a picture of, everyone together, a picture of Jesus Christ. Okay, all right. However, to understand the passage we're in, it's not Joseph who we have to talk about for a moment. It's his dad, Jacob, that I need to tell you about. So I don't know what you know about the Bible, and I don't know what you know about the story of Joseph. I can't take an enormous amount of time, but I know I need to put some background down. Jacob is the son of Isaac. Isaac is the son of Abraham. So we've got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs of basically the book of Genesis. Jacob's an interesting guy. His name means supplanter or deceiver, and that's exactly what he has been. Now, his name changes to, does anyone know? What does his name change to? Israel. Very good. His name changes to Israel, and by the way, I believe his life changes at that point as well. So Jacob's got quite a story. There are three R's to always remember about the life of Jacob. And if you can remember these three R's, you basically have the historical story of the life of Jacob. R number one, you reap what you sow. There is nobody in the Bible that pictures the law of the harvest more than Jacob. You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. Jacob lies to his dad. His boys lie to him. His father-in-law deceives him, and it goes on and on and on. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow. And all three of those things are true throughout the life of Jacob. Every time Jacob commits a sin, he ends up reaping what he sowed. He reaps more than he sowed, and he reaps later than he sowed. And you can just go through so many things in Jacob's life. The second R, the first R is reap what you sow. The second R, this is the amazing thing about Jacob, is revival. I don't know of a character in the Old Testament that drifts away and comes back as many times as Jacob does. Matter of fact, folks, the first time the word revive or revival is mentioned in the Bible is in our passage today in Genesis 45. We're going to get to that in just a minute. In Genesis chapter 45 is the very first time that revival is met. And I'm telling you, Jacob gets away from God, but Jacob comes back to God. Jacob actually has incredible spiritual desires. He has great passion. It's just that he tries to work everything in his flesh. And finally, he experiences, I think, four different times at Bethel, El Bethel, he experiences revival. So if you're talking about Jacob, you reap what you sow, Jacob. Number two, revival. And number three, and this is going to get to our dramatic moment here. The third R that you always remember with Jacob is the name Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel. And I mean, he loved Rachel. Folks, did I tell you Jacob loved Rachel? I mean, every fiber in his being, he loved Rachel. You say, okay, brother, so you said that. Can you prove that? Yeah, I can prove that. He waits 7 years to marry Rachel. Now, I'll tell you this. I love Mary Lee, but I'm wondering in my dating years if I would have waited 7 years for Mary Lee. I don't know. She was definitely worth it, But I'm not. He waits 7 years. Laban, the father-in-law to be, says, hey, if you wait and you work for me for 7 years, I'll give you Rachel. I love Rachel. I will work for you for 7 years so I can get your daughter Rachel. You reap what you sow, Jacob. You reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. You were a little deceiver, and guess what your father-in-law is? On the wedding night, he finds out he didn't get Rachel. He got Rachel's older sister, Leah. Whoa, that wasn't part of the program. Well, you know what, Jacob? You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. You were a supplanter and a deceiver, so now you're getting it back to you. But you know what this guy does? He waits another 7 years. 14 years to get Rachel. Well, now we got two wives. That does not work, guys. That does not work. That is not God's plan. It does not work. One man with one woman for one life. And if you don't do it God's way, I'm telling you, it's going to be problems. Well, boy, are there problems. Leah starts having kids like crazy. And Rachel's womb is not opened. And whoa, can you imagine Rachel and Leah, how that good sister relationship was going? Whoa, so much jealousy. Because Jacob doesn't love Leah, Jacob loves Rachel, but Leah keeps having the children. So Leah's jealous of Rachel, Rachel's jealous of Leah, and then Jacob messes it even up more. Rachel finally has a child, and his name is Joseph. Joseph is the first child that Rachel has. Well, he's the youngest, but he's the favorite. That works really good in marriages and families too. That just really brings everyone together when dad makes favorites of his kids, especially when they're the youngest one. What a mess. Then we find out, or if we don't find out, Jacob finds out that Joseph was killed by wild animals. That's what his sons told him. They lied. Because he lied to his dad. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow. Okay, so here's what happens. Rachel has another child, but she dies in the delivery of that other child. That other child's name is Benjamin. Okay, now listen to this. Rachel has died. The love of his life. Joseph, as far as he knows, is dead. He doesn't know Joseph is a servant and a slave in Egypt. He doesn't know that Joseph is alive. So listen, the only connection that that Jacob has with Rachel anymore is Benjamin. That's all there is. So he knows Rachel died at the childbirth of Benjamin. Joseph, he thinks, is dead. So all he has is Benjamin. Well, his life is miserable because his love has always been Rachel, and all he's got left is Benjamin. Well, a famine comes. And during this time, Joseph, who served in Pharaoh, in Potiphar's house and then served in the prison, and so many things happened to Joseph, but now he interprets dreams. So Joseph now is the second most powerful person in the entire Egyptian kingdom and probably the whole world. His name is called Zaphaphaniah, and he is like the guy. He is the governor. He is the Lord. He is like running the whole show because he told Pharaoh, you're going to have 7 really plentiful years, and then you're going to have 7 really bad years, and you better prepare during the 7 good years with a lot of food so that during the bad years you'll have food, and you better put someone over the whole thing. And Pharaoh says, I can't think of anyone better than you, Joseph. So Joseph rises to this incredible power. The famine hits the whole world. Jacob's boys ain't got no food. Jacob says, go to Egypt. I hear there's food. Why haven't you guys gone already? They don't want to go to Egypt because their conscience bothers them because they sold their brother as a slave. And they don't even want to think about Egypt. But out of hunger, they go ahead and go. Well, through a course of different things, finally, Joseph reveals himself to his brethren. And they can't believe it. They think, first of all, we're going to get killed. He's going to kill us after everything we did to him. And he forgave them all, and God's people said, amen. He forgave them all. He says, I'm not your judge. I'll let God be your judge. I took care of you guys a long time ago. And by the way, folks, that's what we need to do with people that hurt us and do things wrong. We need to forgive them, and Joseph does. Now Joseph, now this is really great. Brother Charlie, are we going to get to our text? You're just about ready for it. The most dramatic, emotional moment, I believe, in the Old Testament. And I personally believe the only event that is more dramatic and more emotional than what I'm about to read to you is a Sunday morning when a woman comes back after the ladies came to anoint a body and the stone was rolled away. And they looked inside and there was no body in there, but the linen was still there. And they were, where did they place him? And later in that morning, there's a woman. Her name is Mary. She comes back to the tomb to check it out one more time. And she bends down and looks inside. And she doesn't see anyone. And the body is gone. Where did they lay him? And that morning in the garden, on that Sunday morning, she hears the gardener, so she thinks. Who have you come to look for? Oh, gardener, tell me where you've laid him. Where is he? Where is the body of Yeshua HaMashiach? Where is my Rabboni? And he says, Mary. And at that moment, she realizes he's alive. And I will tell you, that is the greatest moment of human history. When Mary realizes that Jesus is alive. Well, let me tell you, in the Old Testament, there is one that rivals that. It is the closest, I think the most emotional, dramatic moment in the Old Testament when Jacob realizes and finds out that his son is alive. Look with me, if you would, at Genesis chapter 45 and verse 24. So he sent his brethren, that would be Joseph sending his brothers back, away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. By the way, that was a great statement, speaking to those guys. And the next verse, and they went up out of Egypt. And came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him. Now, folks, you got to be following this on the scriptures. You're not going to believe this. And so they come back to their dad, and this is what they said. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet, everyone together, what's the next word? Alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted. He almost got a heart attack and die. For he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph. Wait till you hear those. All the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, everyone together. It's the first time in the Bible that it's mentioned. Jacob, their father, what? Everyone together. Revived. That is the first time revival is mentioned in the entire Bible. The spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Look at the next verse. And everyone together, what's the next word? Jacob is his fleshly name. Israel is his spiritual name. He gets revived and he's no longer Jacob. Now he's Israel. When did he get revived? When he realized that his son was alive. Woo, what a moment. Matter of fact, now, I don't know about you, but throughout my life, I'm 65 years old. Throughout my life, I have had bad days. Anyone ever have a bad day? Okay. Look, well, good. I'm glad you guys all have had good days. Well, I've had several bad days. And I've had some days that one thing happens after another and it gets worse and worse. Have you ever had a day where you said, okay, I don't know what you're about to tell me, but I cannot handle any more bad news? I mean, everything in the world has been bad today. I just can't handle anymore. It's enough. Don't tell me any more bad news. Okay, so I've had some of those. I'll tell you a day I've never had. I've never had a day that I got so much good news, I could not handle any more good news. I've never had one of those days. I've never had a day. Are you gonna tell me something good? Well, I was. Don't tell me. I cannot handle any more good news. Listen to this though. Look at this. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before he dies. Guys, don't tell me anything more. I can't handle it. I'm an old man. My heart cannot handle any more good news. I am telling you, this is an incredible moment. But what those boys came back and told their dad is all a picture of the one we are thankful for this week, Jesus Christ. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I ask that we will now see what Joseph was to those, to his dad. May we find and get great pleasure and great glory in what Jesus Christ is to us. Father, I don't know how well these people know the story of Joseph and Jacob. I hope I gave enough. But Lord, as we begin to see the picture of Joseph as your son, Jesus Christ, I pray that Christ would just swell up in our soul and in our spirit. And Father, I don't know what's happening in these people's lives. There could be cancer situation, financial situations, relational situations. Father, I know everyone in this room is burdened about our country, probably burdened about things in South Carolina, probably things in their business or whatever. But Father, I pray one thing, that when we leave here today, that we would be so thankful for the Son of God, that Jesus Christ would revive our spirit and our soul, that Christ is not only living, but Lord, may we see everything that Christ is in our life. And I thank you for these stories, because I think you gave us these stories, not to point us to some father and son that lived 3,000 years ago, but to point us to Christ who's alive in our heart today. So Lord, I pray, if they've never seen this picture, that they go home with a tapestry on their heart that they will never forget, and they will never fail to thank you for Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Now I'm going to tell you something. This was an incredible moment. Now when he sent his sons, he sent them one time for food. And then they came back and they said, hey, if we ever go back for food again, we got to take our youngest brother. Because they didn't take Benjamin the first time, because Benjamin doesn't leave Jacob, because that's his only connection anymore to Rachel, the one he loves so much. So it ain't no way. But then they said, so then Jacob says, boys, we got to get some more food. Go back to that guy over in Egypt and get some more food. We can't go. without Benjamin. No, Benjamin's not going to go. I've lost Rachel. I've lost Joseph. And I'm an old man. I can't lose Benjamin. Well, then we ain't got no food, Dad. Because that guy was really clear that we bring our youngest son, or our youngest brother. Finally, Jacob says he acquiesced because they got to have food. He acquiesces and he says, go ahead and take Benjamin. So I'm guarantee you, every day that Benjamin is gone, Jacob is praying to the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And he is praying every day, oh God, please allow Benjamin to come back. So he's waiting. And it surely takes days, if not weeks, before these guys get back. And I'm sure one of his servants come running into the tent. Jacob, Jacob, they're coming back. Your boys, they're coming back. And you can imagine, and by the way, Jacob's over 100 years old. He gets up. Did you see Benjamin? Did you see? I don't know, but they're coming back and they got wagons. Is Benjamin with them? Oh, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, oh, Rachel. Oh, please make Benjamin be alive. And I think the first one to enter that tent is Reuben. Reuben is the oldest, and what a slacker he was. Reuben was just a mess as the oldest brother. And he didn't do, and I gotta tell you, he was so upset with his brothers that they sold Joseph, and Reuben didn't lead. Oh, Reuben was a mess. I think Reuben's the first one that comes in that tent. And when they get back, Reuben comes in the tent and says, Abba, Abba, I got to tell you something. Is Benjamin there? Dad, Benjamin's back. But I got to tell you something. What? What now? Dad, Joseph. Yeah? Joseph is alive. No. Joseph's not alive. Here's his bloody coat. Here's the bloody coat. We'll tell you about that later, Dad. But we'll tell you about that later. But Dad, Joseph is alive. Now, folks, I don't like what's going on in our country any more than you do. And I don't know what's going on in your health, and I don't know what's going on in your finances. But can I tell you this? Jesus is alive. And folks, you have something to be thankful for if you're a child of God. Because this world is not all there is. And how do you know that there's more world? Because God, Jesus is alive. And he's like, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And my friend, if he conquered death, he can conquer anything else you got going on in your life. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Man, Brother Scheller, this Thanksgiving, our dollar isn't worth anything. Man, my health isn't worth anything. My family's falling apart. I just tell you right now, our country's falling apart. I don't know what I can thank God for. Well, I'll tell you what you can thank God for. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Bible Baptist, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How do you know that? Because Jesus is alive. And because of the resurrection power, we have victory over anything in our life. Oh, whatever you say. You guys need an illustration. Jacob, where are you? Jacob, come here. I got something for you. So, Jacob, I got to wait for you here, buddy. I'm a 45-pounder here, man. That's pretty big. So, Jacob used to play a little football, huh?
Yeah, still kind of little. I don't know what we got here. But Jacob, I got a job for you. I want to see if you could take this weight and put it up over your head. Okay, so here you go. You got it? You think you got this? Whoa. How many people believe that Jacob can put that weight over his head? How many people? Yeah, most of them can. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Whoa! Give that guy a hand. Jacob, good job. Yeah, but that's not the test. Yeah, that's not it, Jacob. That's not it, Jacob. Was that a little heavy? Yeah, okay, well now we got it. Now this is the test. Jacob, hold that. You got it? Need any help? Okay. Now, folks, now's the real test. How many believe that Jacob can lift this 5-pound weight over his head? I'm not sure there's any more. I'm not positive, but here we're going to find out. Okay, 3, 2, 1. You got this? Are you okay?
I got it.
Okay? That was, you know, but this is the real test, okay? 3, 2, 1. Do it, bud. Whoa! One finger! Give that guy a hand! Amazing! Wow! You did it! Brother Shetler, I think you did this illustration backwards. No, not at all. Well, Brother Shetler, if he lifted 45, he can lift 5. I know. And if he rose from the grave, he can handle anything in your life. Amen. Folks, he's alive. And it's a bigger deal than you have lived your life. If he rose from the grave, he can handle anything you're going through. He conquered death. You think he can conquer your anger? You think he can conquer your worry? You think he can conquer your cancer? You think he can conquer your finances? You think he can conquer your relationship? I'm not sure. This may be too big for Jesus. No, it's not too big for Jesus. And how do you know it's not too big? Because he rose from the grave. And he is alive. And if Jesus is alive, he can handle whatever you're going through. And we can be thankful this week for a God who is alive. Amen? Amen. There's so much to be thankful for. There's so much. Okay. So I think the next guy that comes in is Simeon. I don't know, but I'm thinking Simeon. Now, here's why. Simeon's been in prison during this whole time because he kind of kept Simeon during the time that the boys went back with the first load of food. Simeon stays there. So he's kind of been under the control of Joseph. And I just got a feeling Reuben comes in first and tells him he's alive. I think Simeon comes in next. Dad, I got something to tell you. Oh, Simeon, we've missed you. We've missed you, Simeon. Simeon, I just heard the greatest news in the world. I just heard the greatest news. Joseph is living. Joseph is living. Dad, can I tell you something? Not only is he living, Dad, he's the Lord. Dad, he's the governor over everything. Dad, our little brother, your son, he's Lord. He makes all the decisions. Who gets food? Who doesn't get food? Your son is the second most powerful person in the world. He's Lord. Let me tell you something, Bible Baptist. Not only is he living, but Jesus is Lord. He reigns. He rules. Take your Bibles. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. He is not only living. Well, praise God, Jesus rose from the grave. That's a great thing. No, let me tell you something else. Your Savior, who you come and worship, is also the Lord of all glory. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 4 says this, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter.
in Jeremiah 18, verse 4. So he made it again another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. Now listen. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Benjamin Franklin, who I do not believe was a Christian, though I do think he was a moral man, quoted this passage of scripture at the first Congressional Congress that met in the 1700s. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, it had nothing to do with midterm elections, bub, I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent. I will sigh. I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you. Folks, God is still in charge. God is still Lord over the United States. God is still Lord over the world. Not only is he living everyone together, he's also Lord. And at your Thanksgiving table, you ought to thank God that the one you call your Savior is not only living, but he's Lord. I think the next guy that comes in the tent is Judah. Now, Judah's been the bad guy. Judah is the one that actually sold Joseph. Judah is the one that came up with the idea to sell him to the Ishmaelites. Judah has been the bad guy, but I want to tell you something about Judah. Judah was also the key in saying, Dad, Benjamin will come back on my dead body. I promise you, Benjamin will come back. And Judah is the one who confesses in front of Joseph before he knows he's Joseph. And Judah breaks down and says, sir, Zephaniah, you can't do this. You can't keep Benjamin. Take my life. So Judah's really something. And Judah realizes that Joseph has forgiven him. I think Judah's the third person in the tent. And Judah comes in and says, Dad, I got to tell you something. Oh, Judah, this is the greatest day of my life. Oh, Judah, I know. Dad, I got to tell you something about Joseph. I know, I heard he's living. Yeah, but Dad, I got to tell you something else. I know, I heard he's like Lord over everything. Dad, I got to tell you something else. Dad, not only is he living, not only is he Lord, Dad, he loves us. He loves us in spite of what we've done. In spite of the brothers we were, he loves us, Dad. He's forgiven us, and he loves us. Now, let me tell you something. Thursday, before you chomp into that turkey, before you eat that mashed potatoes with gravy, I shouldn't be talking like this right now, but before you eat, and you all get around that table, and you all hold hands, you thank God for a living God who is the Lord of the world, and who loves every person around that table and has forgiven you of your sin and wants a relationship with you. Because I know the sinner that Shetler is, and I am so glad that I have a God that not only is alive, he's not only Lord, he loves me. By the way, that makes it a lot different than that Islam religion. That's all about fear, intimidation. Ours is all about love and relationship. I'm thankful that I'm not a Muslim. I'm thankful that I'm not a Hindu. I don't say myself better than them. I'm thankful that my God is alive. My God is Lord. And my God loves me. Brother Scheller, this might be the most dramatic moment. Gets better. I think Levi comes in. Now, Levi's the priestly tribe, so he might have been a little more hefty, you know, so it took him a while to get into the tent. And I think Levi comes in and says, Dad, I got to tell you, oh, Levi, I can't believe it. Dad, I got to tell you about Joseph. I know, I heard. Joseph is living. Yeah, but Dad, I got to tell you, I know, I heard. He's Lord. Yeah, Dad, but I got to tell you, I know, I heard. He loves us. I know, but Dad, not only is he living, not only is he Lord, not only does he love us, but Dad, he's longing for us. He's longing for us to come where he is. He's prepared a place in Goshen land. He's prepared a place for us. And we're moving. And we're going to go where he is. He's longing for us. And in the upper room that night, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So I have no idea what's going on in your life. But I know this, if you're a child of God, this is not home. You may love South Carolina, you may love Fort Mills, and you may love America. But guys, this is not home. He's longing for us to spend eternity with him forever in heaven. And he's prepared a place. And you sit at that table on Thanksgiving, there's coming a day that you're going to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's going to be better than any Thanksgiving meal you ever had. And he is longing for you to come. Brother Scheller, doesn't seem like there's much to be thankful for this year. There just doesn't. Yeah, there is. You have a living Lord who loves you that one day you're going to spend eternity with. And he's longing. Whoa, Brother Scheller, that's pretty good. I'm liking this. This might be the most. But there's one more. And you know who it is. Benjamin now comes in the tent. Brother Scheller, isn't Benjamin the youngest? Yeah. Well, wouldn't he have been the first one in the tent? No. He had too many garments on. He had too much gold around him. He comes in like the abominable snowman. And he walks in. Abba, you ain't gonna believe this. And Jacob sees Benjamin. Oh, Rachel. Oh, what a day. Oh, Benjamin. Dad, I gotta tell you about my brother. I gotta tell you about my brother. I know. Your brother Joseph. He's living. Oh, Dad. Better than that. I know. Simeon told me he's Lord over everything. Oh, Dad, better than that. Oh, Benjamin, I know. He loves us. Yeah, Dad, better than that. Well, I heard. Levi told me he's longing for us to come. Oh, Dad, not only is he living, not only is he Lord, not only does he love us, not only is he longing for us. Dad, my brother, he's loaded. My brother's loaded. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Dad, my brother's the richest person in the world. And can I tell you this? The riches we have in Jesus Christ. You read Ephesians chapter 1 starting at verse 3. And this week you see your adoption, your forgiveness, your redemption. You see what you are in Jesus Christ. Brother Scheller, there's just not much to be thankful for. Yeah, there is. His name is Jesus. He's living. He's the Lord. He loves you. He's longing for you. And can I tell you, Jesus is loaded. And every spiritual blessing you will ever have, you find in Jesus Christ. This ought to be the greatest Thanksgiving in the world if you know Christ. If you're in this room and you do not have a relationship with the Son of God, today can be your greatest Thanksgiving. Because today you can experience a living God who is the Lord, who loves you, and that's why you're in church today, who's longing to have a relationship with you and take you to heaven. And I want to tell you, Jesus is loaded. He's got everything you will ever need in your life. Folks, we have something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. And that name is Jesus Christ. I don't know what's happening in your marriage, in your family, with your kids, in your business, with your health. I don't know what's happening. But I do know this. We have Christ. And if we have Christ, we have everything in the world to be thankful for. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally believe this was the most dramatic moment. By the way, every one of those points, you read those verses. Every one of those points are in those verses. When he sees the wagons, he knows he's loaded. When he gives the words, when they give the words that Joseph says, that's loving and longing. He's the governor, he's the Lord. And the very first thing they said was, he's alive. Every one of those things I just said is found in that passage of scripture. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Bible Baptist, you have something to be thankful for today. And I just wonder if we've been pretty ungrateful. I was thinking about this morning in my hotel room. I thought, you know, Lord, I've preached this message before, but it's been a long time. It's been about 2-3 years since I preached this message. And I thought to myself, you know, God, I have just really lost what I should be most thankful for. I thank the Lord for Mary Lee, for Ben and Luke and Drew, my grandkids, my daughter-in-laws. I've had one of the richest years in ministry I've ever had in preaching. I thank God for the health I have at 65 and the traveling I can do. But guys, man, the Lord's blessed with gifts this year. But I am telling you the honest truth, folks. There is nothing in my life that I should be more thankful for than that God is my Savior, my Father, my friend, my counselor. Everything I've ever needed. There have been people that have failed me. Jesus never has. There's been people that haven't forgiven me. Jesus always has. Folks, we have so much to be thankful for if we have Christ. How's our heart been? I want to ask. I want you to be very honest. How many people in this room can honestly say, heads bowed, eyes closed, can honestly say, Jim, I have Jesus. That Jesus that you talked about, I received as a young child, I received as a teenager, I received later in my life. But I have that Jesus that you talked about. I have a personal relationship with him, not a religion. It's not about being a Baptist. It's about being a child. And I have that relationship. I know that I've received the one you preached about today. I know I've received Jesus. If that's true, can you raise your hand high that you have this one Jesus? Can I see that for just a moment? Would you raise your hand high? Amen. Now listen to me. You can put your hands down. If you just raised your hand, you have something to be thankful for Thursday. Man, I don't care what's on that table, and I don't care who's around that table. I'm telling you, you've got something to be thankful for if you just raised your hand, because you have the living Lord who loves you, is longing for you, and he's loaded. You have Jesus Christ. So let's be thankful. If you're here today and you could not raise your hand, but you would say today, Brother Shetler, I want to know this Jesus that you talked about today. Man, I've heard about him. I've even believed in him, but I've never received him. I've heard all these historical things about Jesus, but I don't know him like you guys are talking about. And today I want forgiveness of my sin. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. And I want Jesus to be my Savior. If that's true, would you raise your hand? Is there anyone like that? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? Amen. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? I've never received Jesus. I would like to today.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have what's called an invitation. Some of you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar, kneel down, and thank God for Jesus, and repent from the grumpy attitude and the complaining, murmuring that you've been having, and say, "Dear God, I am so rich in Christ. I have been so unthankful, and today, God, you spoke to my heart. I want to be so grateful. I want a new heart today. I want to start praising the Lord. I want to start thanking God. I want revival. Man, I have just been so critical about everyone and everything. And today, I'm going to start being thankful because I have Jesus." I think some of you need to come down and repent and kneel down and say, "Dear God, my language and my heart changes today. And I am going to be the most thankful person, oh Lord. And I just want to come down and thank you for all that you've done." And for that one that raised their hand, I'm going to ask you to step forward. Let's have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know that you have Jesus in your heart. Because I got to tell you, that's the greatest thing in the world. Let November, what is it, the 20th? November 20th. 2022 be your spiritual birthday. I ask Jesus to be my Savior. I encourage you to step on out. We'll have someone take a Bible. Let's get that settled today. Christian, you say, "Well, I'll just kind of do that thankful thing in the pew." Let me tell you something. You can do that. Obviously, you can do that. I'm not trying to twist arms. But I do believe there could be a spirit of encouragement by seeing some folks come down and say, "Dear God, I want to start being thankful for Jesus. I have had a terrible heart. I just have been so critical and complaining and murmuring. And dear God, that changes today. I want this to be a week that I remember you and thank you. And I just want to tell you, God, I'm thankful for you." I think it'd be good for you to come on down. Just kneel down and thank the Lord and then go back to your seat. So let's stand to our feet.